life hands you lemons, make lemonade. Seriously, do it. If you've only sampled the powdered stuff or frozen concentrate, you might find there's nothing more refreshing on a hot summer day than a tall, cold glass of freshly squeezed lemonade. I'm Charles Ferruzza, and on today's Central Standard, we'll take a cooling plunge into the world of non-alcoholic beverages that beat the heat and soothe the soul. The menu can include everything from bubble teas to fruit smoothies, mocktails to milkshakes, and iced tea to ice cream sodas. Our panel of food critics will quench their thirst for new ideas from you, our listeners, as we explore the bounty of summer beverages that are invigorating without being intoxicating. But first, the news. As the temperatures climb, the need for liquid refreshment becomes so great that we're almost willing to drink anything, even water. I'm Charles Ferruzza, and on today's Central Standard, we'll take a cooling dip into the subject of cold, non-alcoholic beverages. For some of us, it's a frosty chocolate malt. For others, it might be a fresh fruit smoothie or a brisk iced tea. In the second half of the show, we'll sip on some sensational cool ideas for summer drinks, and that includes Chris Pasica, who will temporarily set aside her need for liquor to talk about booze-free beverages.
Briefly.
Yeah. I'm Charles Ferruzza with The Pitch, and I'm joined by a panel of food experts, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves, starting with Christine.
I'm Chris Pasica. I write for the Restaurant Guide of Kansas City, and I have a blog, www.cafechris.com.
All right.
And I'm Mary Block. I have the blog Around the Block at aroundtheblockkc.com, and I write the restaurant guide for the Kansas City Star.
Very good.
And I'm Emily Ferris from Feed Me Creative, and I am a freelance food and cocktail writer.
Very good. And I have to put a plug in for my own blog, which you can find at pitch.com. It's in the fast pitch section of that at pitch.com. And I'm trying to think what I had yesterday in there. My interview with Willie Grandison, the iconic bartender at The American, who is leaving after 40 years.
Wow, he's been there a long time.
I know. And before that, he was at Pooch's 210.
Right.
Which I never – did you ever go there?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
What was it like?
Oh, it was – well, keep in mind, I was a little kid. It was so elegant and so fancy, as far as I was concerned. I have no idea what it really was, but to me, it was just this fabulous, wonderful, very, very grown-up place. And I would look at the prices and look over at my dad and go, can I order this? And he'd go, no.
I understand. It was the restaurant in Kansas City for a long time.
It was gorgeous. Yeah.
And before that, he was at the Colony Steakhouse.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Which, you know, is may it rest in peace. Anyway, we're going to be talking about cool drinks in the second half of the show, but you're always invited to join us in the first half where we talk about new restaurants and restaurants we've been to or revisited. And you can join us by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or send us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. Or a tweet to
@KCURCST.
All right. Okay, Chris, I'm fascinated to hear about this place. Is it in Leawood, this Cinetopia?
Cinetopia and Vinotopia. Or it might be Vinotopia. I don't know.
V-I-N-O-topia.
These are new places out at Prairie Fire. And Cinetopia is, you can eat and watch the movie, sort of like Standees, but the food is quite good. At least it is in Vinotopia, which is where we actually ate. We didn't go to a movie.
So are they're the same place?
It's in the same place. It's different.
Are
in
they
that,
connected in some fashion?
Yeah. You can, I mean, Vinotopia is to the left and the movies are to the right, sort of.
So do you like drink wine and watch a movie at Vinotopia and eat food and watch a movie at Cinetopia?
You can eat and drink at Cinetopia. Whichever. Whatever you want. At Vinotopia, you can't see a movie. Okay, Venetopia is so strictly a movie. I mean, Venetopia is strictly a restaurant.
Okay, let me say, how would you compare it to a similar concept in Prairie Village, Standees?
Well, it's one of the nice things about it is they don't walk in front of you serving you. You have to get your food ahead of time, or you have to go out and get it and bring it back in. So there's not a wait person, a wait staff person waiting on you and walking in front of you. So I think that's a big improvement. And they have regular kinds of foods at Cinetopia too, but they also have the Venetopia, all of their foods. And Venetopia has an extensive menu. And I will tell you, and I particularly ordered these because I knew I was going to be on the show, they have truffle French fries there.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
But wait, there's more. They cost 20 American dollars.
What?
Yes.
Are they made from truffles?
Well, here's the thing.
Deep-fried truffle slices.
Deep-fried truffle, yeah.
Here's the thing. I ate, because for $20, I was determined to eat the entire thing, let me tell you. And so I think about my 30th French fry, I tasted truffle. I don't know when I've been so disappointed, particularly because I just went to Tannen's last night and had their pommes frites.
I hope the
wonderful
movie is included in the cost of those truffle fries.
No, it is not.
What a bummer.
We've been there twice now, and the food is good, but it's definitely not
cheap.
Well, the affordable French fries are a little bit over the top,
is that not comparable to the other things on the menu price wise?
Well, a turkey club sandwich is $12.95.
Does it come with anything?
Truffle fries.
it comes with hand cut fries. You know, a Caesar salad is $9.95. They have a Kobe burger blend for $12.95 hamburger. The wings are $9.95 for 8 pieces.
So we're saying it's
desserts are $8.
It's sort of a Leawood price range.
Yeah, you could. That would be a good way to put it.
And
I think
should take my own truffle oil when I go.
Yeah, I would. I would actually skip those French fries.
Chris, it's hard for me to take seriously a restaurant that has Topia at the end of it, the dino. You know, there's something childlike about that.
Well, there's such a trend right now toward these restaurant movie theater hybrids.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, you know, I think it's great to be able to go in and get a glass of wine and watch a movie, especially if it's a fun comedy or something. I think that's just a really fun thing.
You don't sneak wine into the movie anyway?
No, actually, I don't.
I do.
That would be so much smarter. Thank you. Yeah. And better. So I think everybody should probably try it once. The seating in the theater is great.
And we should remind our listeners that you're talking about two connected restaurants, Vintopia and Cinetopia, and they are located where again?
At 135th in Prairie Fire.
And okay, 35th and what?
Oh, sorry. It's between Lamar and Knoll.
Okay, so we're talking about practically to Lawrence.
Yeah. And I did want to mention and really old place, and I think people, and certainly I, have forgotten it, and that is Pierpont's. I've gone there many times for their happy hour, which is one of the best in town. But the other night we went I had fresh-caught salmon. It was done perfectly. And it's just a very pleasant, nice restaurant, I think.
And the bar itself has to be one of the prettiest in town.
Oh, my gosh, it's gorgeous. And I love watching those guys climb up.
Mm-hmm. On the ladder.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I talked about it on the last show.
I know.
Kind of said the same thing. We don't give it enough attention. Yeah. We don't talk about it enough. And it's not really a summery place. It feels more like a holiday place.
Right.
We kind of had the restaurant to ourselves on a summer night. But so good.
Yeah. And, you know, but what's interesting to me about that is patios are wonderful. But, you know, when people ask me now, do I want to sit on the patio and it's 90 and the humidity is 95%, I'm like, no.
And mosquitoes.
Thank you. I'll just sit in the nice air conditioning. So it reminded me that's a good place. The other final place I'll mention right now is Coco Bolo's, which is also out at 135th between Lamar and Knoll in Prairie Fire. And Coco Bolo's, this is a reincarnation somewhat of an old concept that's out of
Manhattan, Kansas.
And
they tried once before to make a presence, and it didn't work.
I think why it works maybe so well in Manhattan is they drink a lot first. They have a lot of beer, and then they're just ready to stuff down food. There were four of us. It was okay. I mean, it was...
Well, that's damned with faint praise.
Would you say your expectations were extremely high because of the chef?
I would. Well,
well, he's not the chef.
He's not the chef.
He consulted on the menu.
He consulted on the menu. And, you know, it was fine. Our friends really liked the tacos. I had a grilled chicken skewer that was quite good. And one of the reasons I liked it, actually, it was dark meat, which was a nice surprise, with rice and corn dish. That was very good. The ceviche and the oysters, I wouldn't order if I were you. The nachos came with three sauces, and they were decent. It just, I guess I just wanted it to be more.
Okay, let's elaborate on that. And
well, we should say, we said he consulted on the menu. We were talking about Michael Smith.
Right.
Yes,
of
Michael Smith.
The restaurant of the same name and Extra Virgin. James Beard Award winner. But so did you just find it maybe, well, it's Mexican food, correct?
Yeah.
Did you find it not upscale enough, or was it kind of plebeian? I don't know.
Oh, interesting. It was, I think I expected maybe a little more imagination in it. Like Port Fonda, I think, has really marvelous food.
And Frida's.
Yeah, and Frida's has great different food. I thought this was, if you're not a real Mexican food place a fan, this would not be a bad place to start. How's that?
Okay. Well, all right.
but you know what? It's one person's experience, one time.
Very good. And like I said, this is probably a good opportunity. If you have been to Coco Bolo's or there's other new restaurants you would like to talk about on this show, this is the time to do it by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you could send us an email at centralstandard@kcur.org. And we have a tweet address, and it is?
At KCURCST.
All right. Marie.
Okay. Well, I went back to Urban Table, which is in Corinth at 8232 Mission Road. It's one of the bread and butter concepts along with BRGR.
That's about 3 years old now, right? Or at least.
I think so. Yeah. But they've switched to table service all the time. Originally, breakfast and lunch, you ordered at a counter, and then dinner was table service. So I thought, well, I'll give it a try and see how that works. And I liked it much better. You're not, you know, hovering, looking for a table with your food. And I think the food has only gotten better since it opened. And I was just there for lunch and had a great Thai chicken salad. But I was impressed. And it's a great atmosphere. I just think they really did a nice job with it. And then I went to the Belfry down in the crossroads at 1532 Grand. It's one of Selena Teo's restaurants. She also owns Julian and Collection, which is next door.
Now,
it's
is
more
the Belfry
bar.
Yeah, I was going to say, Belfry more of a bar?
It is more of a bar, and it's a great bar.
It's
I really love the bar. It's a cool place. Selection.
What makes you love it so much? I mean, a bar can be a bar.
Yeah, it was just kind of quaint. Not quaint. It was small and cozy. I like the feel of it, and they did have a great beer selection.
So you're saying it's intimate, and does it get noisy?
You know, it's not that big, and I was there at happy hour, so I don't know what happens, you know, after a concert or something at 11 at night.
Is it next to a Collection or behind it?
It's behind it.
Okay, because I feel like the Collection is none of those things you described.
Yeah, no, it's not. And this is not, you know, it's not like Woods and all. It's more of the industrial look.
Okay.
But as I said, it had a great beer selection. The food didn't match the
decor
or the bar, the beer. I was disappointed. You know, again, like we were talking about with Michael Smith, I expected more from Selena. And I think, you know, her hamburger is so good and French fries, and that's probably the way to go. We had the chicken nachos. It said it was a manchego cheese sauce. I didn't detect any cheese, and it was just really bland and not much to it. And then we had the chopped salad, which sounded good, but the lettuce had seen better days. Oh. And when I pointed,
there's nothing more sad than lettuce that has seen better days.
And we didn't eat it. We just put it to the side and didn't really say anything. And then the guy came up and said, "Was everything okay?" And I told him about the lettuce, and he said, "Oh, well, that's too bad."
What?
And if Selena had been there, I'm sure she would have just gone berserk. Yeah. But that was not the response I was looking for.
Did he take it off your
bill? No, didn't deduct it, didn't do anything. Just that's too bad. Took it away. So I'd go back for a burger and beer.
I feel like that's not going to happen again after today, Mary.
Well, hopefully not.
They have a huge bar selection, though. I know we don't need any jokes about this, Charles, but they have got probably one of the best bourbon selections in town.
Really?
And scotches. Their bar selection is amazing.
And they have many, many, many beers, correct?
Yes, and Selena makes some of them mm-hmm. herself.
And it's a nice long bar. You can sit at the bar. There are probably only 5 or 6 tables.
Yeah.
Are there little things you could snack on while you're drinking?
Yeah, they've got Citra, hoppy pickles. They've got spicy sweet nuts, Tuscan fries, kettle chips with a house-made onion dip. I didn't have any of those things, so I can't comment. But they do have, you know, a few things.
You okay. can still sometimes order from Collection, too, as I believe. I mean, from, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that
you
could
can, be. You can order off the full menu, too.
But Collection isn't open every night.
No.
And this is open more.
And we are talking about the Belfry, which is the bar created by Selena Teo, and it's 15th and Grand, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And she has a parking lot.
Yes, which is really nice.
Which may be the greatest asset that place has. Are you?
I was just going to also mention, I went to Bread for All at 536 Westport Road, and they've got sandwiches with naan and shawarma and kebabs and falafel. But the best part about it, I thought, was they've got beautiful, beautiful rounds of fresh naan to go.
Right.
And that's what they serve in the restaurant.
And apparently they have a very, very good soup that I have yet to try, but people have raved about.
It's okay. You mean the lentil soup?
Yeah.
It's okay. You know, okay. I mean,
I've heard very, very good things about it.
I would definitely go for the naan. And you could even make a pizza. I mean, it's huge.
Wow.
You could put some, you know, make it a flatbread sort
nice.
Of thing.
No, or you could, you know, toast it in the oven with a little cinnamon sugar, and
just
there you have breakfast.
Just tear it off and dip it with a chutney. Salad. Yeah. Mm.
Emily, where have you been?
Well, I've gone to lots of my regular favorites around town, so I won't talk too much about them, but I did go to a Port Fonda for brunch, and Port Fonda is at 4141 Pennsylvania, and I always get the same thing there, the chilaquiles mm-hmm. with an extra egg, but my favorite part of that brunch is that they had the Boulevard Ginger Lemon Radler on tap, which was really hard to find. And I had gone to Boulevardia hoping I could try it there, and I wasn't able to because it ran out. So I was very excited to try that. I've been to Lulu's at 2030 Central 3 times in the past 2 weeks, and I'm going again today for lunch.
Wow.
I love their lunch special. It's such a great lunch special. It's like $7.95, and you get a crab rangoon or a spring roll, and you can add super salad. When it is hot, I just crave Asian food. It is the best hot weather food. So
They say that one of the best ways to beat the heat is to have spicy food, mm-hmm. which, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. My body knew that, even if my brain didn't. And I've also gone to Vietnam Cafe, the one down in Columbus Park at 522 Campbell. But my new, well, it's more, it's a redo. I went to the renovated Blue Stem, which closed for about 2 months.
I think so.
They did renovations in the bar area and the dining room. And Blue Stem is at 900 Westport Road, and it's run by Colby and Megan Geraltz. He is also, we've talked about a lot of James Beard Award mm-hmm. winners today. What I love about the renovation, two things. One, the bar area is so much more conducive to eating and sitting, which it wasn't really before because they had little, basically like stump tables. They were little circles and they were hard to put lots of plates on. And Blue Stem has such a great happy hour menu that you should order lots of things off of it. And it just wasn't very easy to have lots of small plates at the table. And the dining room is also a lot more casual, which I like.
Yeah.
And there's an open kitchen. So you can see into the kitchen and see the chefs working. And the dining room, I love, it feels much less formal. And part of that is a banquet that's across the east side of the mm-hmm. restaurant that runs the full length of the place. And now there's a bathroom in the lounge area, so you don't have to go through the dining room if you're eating in the lounge. The menu is pretty similar to what it was before, which makes me happy because, like I said, they have one of the best, if not the best, happy hour and lounge menu in Kansas City. But there was an addition, which was a trophy pasta with an herbal cream sauce that kind of blew my mind. So get yourself to happy hour at Blue Stem. And even if you don't go for happy hour, the lounge menu is so reasonable.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the reasons they changed it from all the casual seating is because they really want people to come in and eat. And yeah. people were just sitting around drinking and didn't get up.
It's definitely the best deal in Kansas City. You get you can get a hanger steak or a burger by a James Beard award-winning chef for $14 and what, $11 at happy hour or something. Mm. And great drink specials. And their truffle fries are very reasonable.
They are. And they're good. Yes. We went there for Father's Day brunch. And I do like their brunches. We had to send back 2 plates of eggs.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard that they're having some just renovation pains.
I think so. I think so. But I think that will
Why would one send back eggs?
Well, if one orders them medium or sunny side up and they come back hard.
That is a bummer. Yeah.
That is not a good thing. And their cinnamon, you know, Megan's cinnamon rolls out at Rye, those huge, giant things. Down there, it was this little dry muffin, which was really weird. I mean, and it said cinnamon roll, but that was truly a little dry muffin. So
you were disappointed.
We were overall. Now, but anyway, I will go back, of course, because I think, like you, I think it's a great, great place.
Well, on the subject of cinnamon rolls, which used to be a frequent topic on the old Walpudin show, but on the subject of cinnamon rolls, Chubby's on Broadway, the sort of iconic diner, it has a new owner.
Oh.
Tony Olson, who owns the Neighborhood Cafe, which is a diner in Lee Summit, downtown Lee Summit. He also owns Blue Burger in Lee Summit. And he also now owns the Long Branch Saloon in Lenexa. But anyway, he one of the drawing cards, I guess, of the Neighborhood Cafe is that he... When you go in there to have breakfast or lunch or whatever you get there, you get a complimentary cinnamon roll.
Oh.
Well, they're doing that at Chubby's now.
Hmm. Oh.
So I was there very, very, very late one night. I can't tell you why. I'm not sure I know myself. But all I wanted was a cheeseburger. That's all I wanted. And suddenly a cinnamon roll appeared at the table. And you know what? It was a really, really good cinnamon roll.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a dry little muffin like that other place. But it was a really, really good cinnamon roll. And... they didn't explain why they brought it to the table. So I thought, is this somebody else's cinnamon roll? Should I eat it?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to get charged for it?
I wonder if that's just a thing. You know, there's that place in Chicago that bring whatever you order, Ann Slathers or something, and they
Ann
bring
Sather,
you
Slathers,
oh, yeah. and they bring you 2 giant cinnamon rolls.
Well, if you're there for a cup of coffee, they'll charge you for the cinnamon roll.
Well, I kind of hope that doesn't become a thing here, because then I feel like I could never get to what I actually ordered if I eat a giant cinnamon roll first.
You know, you'd be surprised. I did. I got to that cheeseburger in just
well,
a perfect
everything's
amount of time.
Different at 2 a.m. I can eat anything at 2 a.m.
So that's our that's our cinnamon roll report from Central Standard. Yes, okay. So any other comments? Oh, we do have a Barbara called in to share that the Boulevard, is it lemon ginger beer, Emily?
A lemon ginger Radler, yes.
She had it at Jazz at the Legends.
Oh.
So I'm assuming other restaurants might have it?
Yeah, they put kegs out. And there may be even a list, I don't know, of where you can get them. But I was trying to track one down, and I was very happy when I learned that they had it at Port Fonda.
Before we get to our second half, which is going to be about non-alcoholic beverages, why don't you tell our listeners, what would a lemon ginger beer taste like?
Well, my husband should really be the one telling you about this, because he's the beer nerd and gives tours at Boulevard. But it's basically, as far as I understand, the wheat beer that is fermented with ginger and lemon in the tank.
So is it a subtle lemon ginger?
Yes. Okay. So if I'm wrong, someone please call in and correct me. But it tastes like the Boulevard unfiltered wheat with hints of ginger and lemon, which are 2 of my favorite flavors in the world. It's very summery. I like it so much better than a shandy too.
Really?
I find shandies to be just kind of, because aren't they?
Lemonade.
Beer and lemonade.
Yeah.
And so they just feel kind of flat and blah.
Yeah.
And there's a really, really popular Radler right now that you've probably seen in cans everywhere, which is the Stiegel Radler.
Yeah.
And it's a grapefruit, and it's so good. And this is very different from that. But it's the wheat beer with a hint of ginger and lemon.
Right. Where else have you been before we take a break?
I've just been eating my way around all of the Asian restaurants in Kansas City.
All right.
And I will, I should talk about this in the second half, but I had my summertime cold drink craving, and I went to Sonic last night and got a cherry limeade.
Well, they're pretty good.
I know. So I got a burger and onion rings while I was there.
I, I have discovered, and I'll talk about this when we come back from the break, but the greatest cherry limeade in Kansas City, and it is not at Sonic.
I believe you, but that is the childhood, that's the summertime drink of my childhood. And that sometimes I just need it.
All right. And briefly, I'm going to ask each of you, what would be the summertime drink of your childhood, Christine?
A chocolate Coke at Cat's Drugstore.
All right. Mary?
I have no idea. Nothing is coming to mind. Probably just a good lemonade.
Oh, okay. At home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did your mother use a concentrate?
Probably.
And, how about you, Charles?
A chocolate malt from this little diner down the street from where I grew up. It was called The Huddle. And I used to go there and get a chocolate malted French fries with my own money from, you know, whatever jobs I was fulfilling. And then when I was a teenager who could drive, which was a terrifying thing for my parents, there was an old drive-in in Indianapolis called the Teepee, which had a gigantic cement teepee on top of it. And it also had maybe the most delicious milkshakes I've ever had. Those were the days when, you know, I wasn't fat and I could have as many milkshakes as I wanted.
See, milkshakes don't seem very refreshing to me. No,
they're filling.
Yeah. But
they're a cold milkshake on a hot day, it is like Nirvana. Anyway, that's a good point for our break. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be looking for the best and most interesting, refreshing, non-alcoholic drinks in and around Kansas City. Call us with your favorites during the break at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. That's coming up when Central Standard returns. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Charles Ferruza, and I'm joined by my other food critics here, Emily Ferris, Mary Block, and Chris Basica. Today we're discussing non-alcoholic beverages that manage to be invigorating and refreshing without being, you know, intoxicating. And we'd like to know, what is your favorite drink of the summer? A drink that, I don't know, that just says summer to you and just really hits the spot on a hot, hot day. And I think it's going to be a long, hot summer. I have that feeling. Where do you go to get it? Join the conversation by calling 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or tweet us at
KCURCST.
All right. Let's start with Jim. Jim on the Plaza. Where do you like to go for a cool drink?
I grew up in the late 60s, 70s. I remember going to the Landing on Troost for it was either there or Metcalf South for an Orange Julius with an egg in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I've tried making it at home, and I'm pretty close, I think, but there was some powder they put in it. And then I love the, I don't think it's on the menu at Winstead's. I always ask for a cherry Coke. I think it's Coke with just like cherry syrup in it, and it's really good.
You know, I had forgotten all about Orange Julius.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they did put some kind of powder in it, and I always wondered what the powder was, you know, if it was poison or whatever. But maybe the powder.
Space Tank.
Did you go on the internet and look up recipes for it? Because I've seen several for.
I did, yeah, and that's where I said I tried making it at home. You can kind of even put it in the blender and get that froth top that they would get at Orange Julius.
Maybe the powder was to create that frosty top thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it was for.
Yeah, I always, you know, well, I know there was powdered sugar in it because I could taste it. But it's funny because I used to, well, delude myself into thinking that if I went and had an Orange Julius, it was healthy for me.
Yeah, well, it was, just like Tang.
So I want to make sure I heard that correctly. Did you say with an egg in it?
Yeah, they'd throw an egg in there.
Just a raw egg.
Optional. Huh. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that in cocktails, but never in like a smoothie or a shake.
And I thought there was, you know, you see on every menu now that aren't raw eggs considered dangerous or, you know, warning?
Depends on who you ask and where you get your eggs.
Okay. Well, did I recently see an Orange Julius somewhere? Is that possible?
Well, I think there was still one in Metcalf South, and that...
No, it hasn't been there for years.
It hasn't?
Oh, no. Honey, that's...
Oak Park Mall? I know, I've seen one.
Maybe. Maybe we'll have to have a maybe caller
someone
call
will
in.
Know.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure when I was a teenager working in the Independent Center food court that there was an Orange Julius there, but I don't know if it's still there.
All right. If somebody knows if there's still an Orange Julius, 816-235-2888. Hey, thank you, Jim, for that phone call. And we've got, I believe we have, is it April? No, it's Sonia. Are you with us?
Yes.
What is your cold drink for us?
Mugs Up Root Beer in a real mug.
Oh, that is my favorite. My favorite of all time. You have to have it in the glass mug, though, which means you have to have it there. Yeah. And it is homemade root beer. They make it there. And, you know, I'm not the world's greatest fan of loose meat hamburgers, but theirs are actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Charles, you had asked before the break what my favorite childhood memory was. It was A&W Root Beer. Now that she mentioned root beer, that jogged my memory.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, thank you, Sonia. That is, I love Mugs Up. That is.
That's at 700 East 23rd Street in Independence.
That's right. All right. Let's go to April. April, what do you have to tell us?
Well, I'm in Excelsior Springs, Missouri, and we have a walk-up ice cream stand that's open March through October. It's called the Dairy Bee. It's been around since 1933. And they have got the old-fashioned cherry phosphates. They have the best cherry limeades. And then they have a sangria, which is freshly squeezed lemon, limes, and oranges. And it's fantastic.
Mm. Sangria, but it's non-alcoholic?
It is non-alcoholic, yeah.
All right.
Everything but the wine.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. But it's wonderful.
And tell me where this place is again.
It's off of Penn Highway on the east side of Excelsior Springs, Missouri, just north of Kansas City.
And that's the Dairy Bee, D-A-R-I-B?
Exactly, okay. Yep.
All right. On that note, I stumbled onto a very iconic place in Kansas City, Kansas, Christie's Tasty Queen.
Oh.
Which a walk. Before there were drive-ins, I guess there were walk-up stands.
Right.
And this is that kind of place. You have to eat in the car. There's picnic tables. But, Emily, it was the most delicious cherry limeade ever.
Let's go get one right after the show.
Well, I had that, and I also had a butterscotch malt. And I'm telling you.
Really?
Life began for me at that butterscotch malt. It was delicious. And it is on 55th Street in Kansas City, Kansas. It's called Christie's Tasty Queen.
And we'll have a list up on KCUR.org later today of all of these places.
And our caller was talking about phosphates. Clinton's Soda Fountain in Independence still has all of those
That's
phosphates.
That's a great place, yeah.
And so does the drugstore in Leavenworth, which has all kinds of fountain drinks as well.
All right, let's go to Jesse. Jesse in Kansas City, Missouri. Jesse, where have you been?
I have this great little place that I love to go. It's off 59th and Rock Hill. It's called Chai Chai. And they have this great thing that I've certainly heard of in other places, but their particular preparation is great. It's called a mango shake. And it's like a mango juice with ice, and they just kind of whip it up almost kind of like a smoothie. But I don't know. It's just one of those things that, to me, is I just crave them from time to time.
Now, I should say that Chai Chai is at 59th and Holmes. I've had the mango shake there, and I think there is some kind of milk component in there in addition to the mango and the
ice.
Well,
it's like when you go to an Indian restaurant, you get a mango lassi, which is like a yogurt, I believe, yogurt and mango. And this is Chai Chai is not Indian. It's, is it
Pakistani?
Yeah. And so theirs is a mango shake, and I think it's very similar to the mango lassi.
Very good. All right. And let's see. Let's go to Stacy. Stacy in Kansas City, Missouri. What do you have to tell us?
Hi.
Hi.
I go to Sonic and get, I think it's a Sprite and mango with an extra shot of mango. It is the best ever. I would like to think it's mango juice, but I'm sure it's probably like mango syrup. But, you know, But it is really good. You need to try it. It's excellent.
All right. Another shout out for Sonic.
You know, in the summer, sometimes you cannot beat it. I feel bad going for fast food, but they have so many refreshing summer drinks.
Listen, we live in a fast food nation.
We do.
And, you know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, for as long as it's been there, which I think is the 1960s, Christie's Tasty Queen, it's fast food.
Yeah, and it's Sonic just has expanded into every place in the country.
I know.
I had a huge disappointment with Sonic. I was ordering on a daily basis because my partner would go and get their iced tea every day. I had this wonderful strawberry thing every day, and I said diet strawberry, and they said, okay, fine. Come to find out, I finally went through one time and asked for this diet strawberry drink, whatever it was, and he goes, we don't have a diet strawberry thing.
Oh, no.
Looked it up on the website, 435 calories a day, and I'm going, no wonder they were so good.
Wow. You know, I refuse to drink anything that has diet in the title.
Oh.
And my figure proves it. All right, let's go to Clint. Clint in Midtown.
Yes.
Yes, Clint.
Earlier this week, I was down the River Market, and I popped into a little place called the Tika House, which I'd never been into before. And they had a hibiscus lemonade drink that was exquisite. I wish I could tell you more about it, other than it just tasted fabulous. And it had hibiscus in it somehow.
And where was this again?
The Tika House in the River Market.
Okay.
T-I-K-K-A, I think.
So that would be an Indian beverage, I guess, maybe?
Is it four?
Yeah, they have a lot of spices, and then they serve some sandwiches, which I had, which was good.
Is it 411 Maine?
Whatever.
And the hibiscus drink was a cool drink, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to try that out. Thank you. I want to say that Brad from Prairie Village called to say Orange Julius. This will be the definitive answer to this question. Orange Julius was purchased by Dairy Queen.
Oh.
And Dan called in to say there is an Orange Julius located in the Dairy Queen at 121st and Metcalf in Overland Park, across the street from Costco. So no more calls about Orange Julius, please. I just realized that the last time I did see, and it was on the north side of town, an Orange Julius was at a Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There's just not that many Dairy Queens in town anymore. Let's go to Tam. Tam in Kansas City.
I'm in Raytown.
All right.
Yes. When I was a kid, we used to go to Macy's downtown, and they had these wonderful cherry Cokes with the real cherry syrup, and those wonderful hot dogs in those Boston split-top buns. They were to die for.
Well, it sounds. I'm ready for a cherry Coke right now. All right. Thank you, Tam. And Robert tweeted us, favorite summer drink, just found it, and of all places, Quick Trip, frozen blueberry lemonade at Quick Trip.
Now, we have been talking a lot about these fast food places, which have fantastic summer drinks, but I can't let the show go on any longer without talking about Little Freshy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
That's Little on Freshy, the top of everybody's list.
Yeah, it is at 811 West 17th Street, and she does – Lindsay Larix owns it, and she makes old-fashioned syrups, and she puts in soda, and so it's not – like, there's no weird branded sodas. It's all made there. Right now, the spicy ginger fizz would have to be at the top of my list at Little Freshy, but they always have seasonal herb-infused fruit syrups, and you can mix with your soda. They do. Originally, Little Freshy started as a little food truck, and she did snow cones and really adventurous flavors. And
again, she still does snow cones at the little
at
shop.
At Little Freshy, yes, yeah.
And she has a number of flavors every week,
yeah.
And then some specials.
All right. Well, let's go straight to you, Mary. Then what would be on the top of your non-alcoholic beverage list?
Well, Little Freshy was at the top of mine, but then they're also, you know, if you go to Cafe Gratitude or food, they have a lot of tonics and elixirs and vegetable juices and various things, but I prefer more the milkshakes and malts at Glacé or Blanc. Murray's has great milkshakes, and Parisi Coffee has Italian sodas and homemade lemonade.
Oh, Italian sodas are so good. Ugh.
And the other thing I would tell people is there are some fabulous bartenders in Kansas City. And if you went to Extra Virgin or Voltaire or Novel or Westport Cafe, Justice Drugstore, and just said, I don't drink. Would you fix me up a great non-alcoholic cocktail? You would be very happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
I'm pleased to say that is true. I was at the Rieger. It's called the Rieger Hotel.
Yes, and that's also on my list.
And I did ask the server to ask the bartender to make me a mocktail that I would not be embarrassed to drink. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can only or once you hit 50, baby, Shirley Temples are out. And they made a most delicious drink, but it was not quite as delicious as the mocktail that the bartender made for me at Limestone Pizza in Lawrence, mm-hmm. which was
rhubarb tonic.
Well, that they made the rhubarb tonic for my friend Lou Jane because it had liquor in it. But for me, they made fresh orange juice with ginger syrup, fresh ginger syrup. It was exquisite.
One thing that a lot of bars and restaurants are doing, which makes it easy to go and get a great mocktail, is that places like the Rieger and Justice, they make their own sodas, mm-hmm. which I think is hopefully a trend that will continue, because I hate going to a really nice restaurant and they have, you know, Coke or Pepsi, or it's, you know, we do everything artisanally, and then we also have Coca-Cola products. And it's really nice to go to these places that are making their own ginger beers and root beers and sodas and tonics.
Along those lines, last night we were at Tannen's, and there were six of us, and Tannen's Wine Bar and Kitchen is at 1526 Walnut. And first, though, I have to say, this is the seventh and final summer of Riesling that they're doing, and they have a huge selection of Riesling wines, which are delightful. But anyway, and we had great appetizers. But they have a strawberry basil shrub there that is really good. And I think shrubs are probably some of the greatest things to happen.
That's almost a colonial era.
It is. And basically it is fruit and sugar and vinegar. And it can be made in lots of different ways. But it was so, so refreshing.
It was non-alcoholic?
Just non-alcoholic. And shrubs can be made with anything, and lots of the bars now are making their own. And
it's really made a comeback. Yeah. It's a hot thing, or shrubs.
I'm going to start making those, it seems to me.
I make them at home, and they're a little harder than making a simple syrup, because
right.
you add fruit in and you have to strain it. But they are so good, and they keep in the fridge for a while because the sugar and the vinegar work as preservatives.
Right.
And you can keep a whole mason jar of it and mix it up with some club soda and bourbon, if you so desire.
Yep.
We are getting a lot of tweets. Kate tweets us the rosemary lemonade at the Beer Kitchen. I could drink gallons of it. She also likes it mixed with vodka. And,
yay.
You know, I like the fact that you can get lemonade that isn't lemonade. I was at Unforked, you know, Sheridan's Unforked on 119th Street, and they had a lavender lemonade that I was a little wary of, but it was wonderful. It really was very, very good. Let's go to David. David, what do you want to tell us?
Oh, well, my first comment, I was told that it had already been mentioned, so I apologize. I just got to the phone. But it was about the Orange Julius, and I just thought of it when I heard that, because I had noticed that Dairy Queen was selling them, and I assumed they must have bought them out or something. But I haven't tried one to see if they have the original flavor or not. But as far as my favorite, if you guys are still on that, on the favorite drinks from yesteryears. My first job, I worked at a place right out of school in Gardner, Kansas. And there in town, there was this little place called the Gardner Shortstop, and it hasn't been here for many moons. But it was kind of one of the last, you know, soda fountain type places. And anyway, one of the ladies that I worked with, I'm a Dr. Pepper freak. That's what I survive on mostly. And anyway, she was putting the syrup, vanilla syrup, in her Dr. Pepper, and said that it was the best thing you could ever get. And I was like, ew, that sounds horrible. But I did eventually taste it, and man, I got hooked. And then just a couple of years after that, the place closed, and now I haven't had one for years. But I still, I know they sell, I don't know if they sell pre-made, I know they do add the flavors to the sodas, you know, you can buy, but it isn't the same, obviously, with the artificial flavorings and stuff.
Isn't there another little long-time drive-in kind of place in Gardner? I'm trying to think of the name of it, where you can get a decent milkshake and a decent cheeseburger off the main drag.
If there is, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, I'm going to put a call out to our listeners. And thank you, David. Thank you for the phone call, because I loved that place.
And what was it called?
I can't remember the name of it. It's some little longtime burger shack in Gardner. Not that I get to Gardner that often. Let's go to Jackie in downtown Kansas City.
Hi.
You have a question for us, right, Jackie?
Well, yeah. I'm so glad you started talking about shrubs. I think that's a marvelous addition to the local palette. But what I'm concerned with is I love having wine with my meals, but I don't like going to sleep in the middle of my meal. So I'm really looking for other complex, interesting flavors to go with food while I'm having my dinner.
Now, do you want non-alcoholic, complex,
right,
and interesting?
Non-alcoholic. Oh, non-alcoholic. Okay. Yeah.
Because you could also go for a lower percentage alcohol wine, and it wouldn't put you to sleep.
Or just drink more wine.
And get past that.
Yeah.
Or stop eating lying
down.
Wine
in one hand, coffee in the other.
Well, I don't drink anymore, but every once in a while on a hot summer day, with my meal, I like to have sort of a not quite mocktail that my father used to drink, which is a glass of very cold tonic water with lime and two drops of bitters.
Hmm.
It's delicious and refreshing and mostly, I mean, I wouldn't call it alcoholic
at all.
No,
bitters, no. And, you know, given the variety of bitters that are now being made and are readily available, you
and
could really...
non-alcoholic and alcoholic.
Yeah, you could really do some
experimenting. Well, there's so little alcohol when you use a few drops, too, of bitters.
Yeah.
And you could tailor it, I guess, to whatever food you were eating.
Yeah.
And there are places like, you know, I do bitters and club soda just sometimes to settle my stomach or if I don't want an alcoholic drink. Places like the Rieger make their own bitters and they have lots of different flavors. So they, I'm sure that the bartenders there would be more than happy to pair bitters and soda or tonic with your meal.
Or a shrub, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I mean, I think more and more people are falling into the category that they really don't want to have too much alcohol while they eat.
Yeah, and a lot of bars also make their own infused syrups, so like a lavender simple syrup or a basil simple syrup. And so, you know, any good restaurant that's making its own syrups and bitters, I'm sure would be happy to pair something like that for you.
All right. Okay. Jackie, good luck finding your shrubs. Let's go to Shauna in Overland Park. Shauna, are you picking berries?
Yes, we just entered the berry patch.
And what kind of berries are you picking?
Right now it's blueberries.
All right.
And they have blackberries in about a month.
And where is this berry place?
It's, 235th and State Line.
And what is the name of it?
The Berry Patch.
And could I hire you to pick the berries for me since I absolutely will not go and do it? And are you going to make some kind of beverage out of those berries?
Well, this is the first time I went. My friends had told me about it. And you can go out there and they have berries that they've already picked. So we were checking out and they have all kinds of grape muffins and everything. And then they had this big jug of blueberry lemonade. And I thought, well, let's try it, and it's pretty awesome. I want the red.
I think any kind of fruit and lemonade sounds good. Mm-hmm. I like raspberry lemonade.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially if it's like it's real,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just picked.
I make a basil mint lemonade in the summer, which is great.
That sounds good. Hot for picking berries.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with the berry picking, Shauna. There's an activity that's never really called to me.
No?
No. Anything that involves that much work.
You just pick them up from the grocery store.
Let's see here. What other tweets have we had? Tom tweeted us that back in the 1960s, when he had a young metabolism, his favorite drink was a strawberry soda at the Velvet Freeze.
Oh, now,
there's a blast from the past. And Van Smith tweets us, the filling station and Oddly Correct both have hopped toddy. You have to explain this to me, Emily. Iced coffees infused with hops. I guess that would be a liquor.
Well, a toddy is a cold brewed coffee, and I am not knowledgeable enough about hops to tell you about the hopped.
Yeah.
Well, maybe somebody can call in and tell us.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds intoxicating to me.
Perhaps. Yeah. I imagine it's not, because I doubt either of those places have a liquor license.
Oh.
So it's probably more
thinking,
of a flavor. I know that hops are often added to beers at the end of the brewing process to give it a certain flavor. And perhaps it's done in a way where it's alcohol's cooked out. I don't know. I'm no drink scientist.
All right. No one has called about that place in Gardner, which had like a dozen different milkshake flavors, including some. I think one was bubblegum, and I would never have a bubblegum milkshake.
I just don't find milkshakes to be refreshing in the summertime. They seem so heavy. I just want light and bubbly and fruity. But are you a shake or a malt person?
I'm a malt.
Me too.
Yeah.
When I have an ice cream drink, I'm malt.
I never like the little malted milk balls.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're my favorite Easter candy.
Mm-mm.
Mm. Well.
Chocolate malt?
I love chocolate malts, yes.
Is that your favorite flavor of shake or malt?
And that's what Walt always liked.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing about shakes is in Kansas City, most of the shakes are really thick.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people grew up with a much thinner shake with less ice cream, more milk, and more ice. And those are more refreshing. I mean, mm-hmm. I agree with you in terms of refreshingness. Yeah. I wouldn't go to a milkshake particularly.
Though, if I were to go to Glacé and have their fresh mint ice cream made into a milkshake.
That would work for
That
you.
Would be refreshing for me.
That's lovely.
Something they can do as well. And it's delicious.
All right. So we are talking about refreshing non-alcoholic beverages. We've had some incredible suggestions from our listeners at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And, you know, I'm trying to think what else I grew up. We were not really a soft drink family, which is why I think I'm still alive today. And my father every once in a while would have a craving for knee-high soda, which I guess is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, knee-high, sure.
And my mom always thought they were vulgar. But, you know, there's nothing like a nice cold grape soda on a hot day.
You know, World Market on Westport Road, they have a great selection of old-timey, old-fashioned mm-hmm. sodas that you might not think still around.
Like Orange Crush?
I don't know. The bottles look like the labels, anything that was designed in like the mid-century, it looks like they're still
1950
there.
Back.
Yeah. And you know, the barbecue places all are big with the strawberry soda.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because strawberry soda tastes good with barbecue?
Oh, it's in French fries. Oh my gosh. It's
really?
Yeah.
I imagine the sweetness of the strawberry works well with the spiciness in a barbecue sauce.
Let's take one quick call from Gene in Shawnee. Gene, what is your favorite cold drink?
My favorite cold drink is horchata, which is made from rice and with cinnamon and nutmeg and other kinds of spices. It's a Mexican drink.
You know, it's a wonderful, cool drink, and we should actually do a show just on Mexican drinks because I love those.
The Jarritos?
Yeah.
Those are so sweet.
Jarritos sodas, yes.
And their popsicles.
Anyway. Mm. As always, I'd like to thank my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris, Chris Pasica, and Mary Block. Of course, you can always find a list of all the restaurants we mentioned today at kcur.org/Central Standard in just a few hours. You can subscribe to our podcast through that page or on iTunes. Central Standard returns on Monday with Gina Kaufman and a look at fear and other dark emotions in children's literature, plus Photoshop. That scares me. Our show is produced today by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our announcer is Linda Scher. Up to date, 1 minute away. I'm Charles Ferruzza. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your food, Kansas City.